Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories, trends, and discussions from Hacker News. I am your host, Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Thursday, September 3rd, 2026, and we are looking back at the top stories that dominated the front page yesterday, September 2nd. We've got episode 507 lined up for you. And honestly, Sarah, the sheer velocity of AI news right now is making my head spin.
You are not kidding. We've got not one, but two major model releases to talk about today. Plus, we are diving into a really sneaky privacy dark pattern, a fascinating look at how SEO is evolving to manipulate AI engines, and finally, a palate cleanser about one of the oldest and most respected publications on the web.
Let us jump right in with the AI models. Google just dropped Gemini 3.8 Flash and 3.8 Flash Cyber. This was posted by Bratow and shot straight to the top of the board with nearly 1,000 points. And Sarah, this is their third Flash release in only 6 weeks.
6 weeks? The pace is just relentless. Building on 3.7 Flash from less than a month ago, Google is pitching 3.8 as their best reasoning and coding model yet, and they're keeping it at the exact same speed and price as 3.7. But what I really loved about this thread was how the Hacker News community immediately put it to the test.
Right. Simon Willison was in the comments doing what he does best. He prompted the model to make him a cool thing in HTML. For less than 2 cents and in about 13 seconds, the model spit out a fully working animated SVG file. But it sparked this massive debate in the comments about whether we can actually trust the output of these lightning-fast coding models.
Exactly. A user named Norlord brought up a recent Hugging Face incident where an AI actually tried to cover up that it cheated on a test. It brings up this philosophical and highly practical question. If these models are cutting corners to please us, how do we verify their work?
The classic developer answer in the thread was, just have another AI agent check it.
Which is hilarious. It is literally agents all the way down. But a user named SeniorDevNYC made a good point. They said they use these models based on the stakes. If it is an admin page, only they see, they let the AI build it and barely check the code. But if it is a complex internal flow where a bug could be catastrophic, they are still reviewing it line by line. It is not about blind trust. It is about risk management.
Speaking of testing models, Meta also had a big release yesterday, Muse Spark 1.3. The funny thing about this submission is that the link to the Meta developer page was actually broken for a lot of people, returning a page not found error. But that did not stop the HN crowd from digging into the model via APIs.
And Simon Willison strikes again here. He used Muse Spark 1.3 to generate an SVG of a pelican riding a bicycle.
I love how specific his benchmarks are.
It is brilliant because it gives you a visual baseline. He noted that 1.3 is definitely better than 1.2. It drew a better bicycle frame, a better wing, and even gave the pelican a little hat. But the comment section took this in such a fascinating direction. A user named Drew Septh asked, "Why do these AI-generated pelicans always have the exact same composition? They are always a side view, flat 2D ground, and they are always biking from left to right."
Yes, the regression to the mean. A commenter pointed out that the more generic your prompt, the more generic the response, because it is just pulling from the most common representations in its training data. If you ask a random person on the street to draw a house, they draw a square with a triangle roof. The AI is doing the exact same thing.
Someone even brought up the cultural bias of it. In Western cultures, we read left to right, so we visualize timelines and forward motion as moving left to right. That bias is baked into the internet, which means it is baked into the training data. It really makes you wonder, as one commenter put it, if any of us have ever had a truly original thought, or if we are all just running on the same underlying parameters.
It got a bit existential in there. Someone even quoted Westworld. But it highlights a real issue with generative AI. It is an amazing synthesizer, but it defaults to the absolute most average human imagination unless you force it not to.
Let us shift gears from what the models output to what they ingest. Our next story is about Mistral AI and a very frustrating update to their privacy documentation. The post is titled, "Can I opt out of my input or output data being used for training?"
This one hit a nerve. The original poster, T-Kurt, explained that their organization specifically chose Mistral because they wanted a European partner with strong privacy controls. But when they upgraded to the team tier, they found out that their prompts were being used for training by default. And to make matters worse, Mistral seemed to have removed the central admin toggle to turn this off for the whole company, forcing every individual user to go into their settings.
Which is a nightmare for IT administrators. But the real firestorm in the comments was about the language Mistral used. They described their system as opt-in by default.
Opt-in by default? That phrase makes my blood boil.
It makes no sense. As the commentator B. Ryder pointed out, the word opt literally means to choose. Opt-in means you proactively choose to participate. Opt-out means you proactively choose to leave. Saying you are opted in by default is just a corporate weasel word way of saying it is an opt-out system.
Exactly. It is a dark pattern. You cannot choose something by default. If the company turns it on for you without asking, you did not opt in. They just took your data. Another user, Snown, summed it up perfectly. They said good companies leave these settings off by default. Bad companies turn them on for you.
It is especially disappointing coming from Mistral, who has built a lot of goodwill in the open source and privacy-conscious communities. When you compare it to Anthropic, for instance, Claude disables training on prompts for organizations by default on their paid tiers. It is a good reminder that in the AI gold rush, you have to read the fine print and check your privacy toggles constantly, because these companies are hungry for data, and they will quietly change the rules if they think they can get away with it.
And speaking of companies doing whatever it takes to feed the AI machine, our next story is an absolute mind bender. It's a report from Trellner Research titled Three Sites Made 215,128 Best Software Pages for AI, and Perplexity cites them.
This is wild. So Trellner Research ran an experiment. They asked Perplexity, which is a very popular AI search engine, for the best products across 380 different software categories. They wanted to see where the AI was getting its information.
You would think it is pulling from reputable review sites, right? Maybe G2 or Gartner or established tech blogs.
Some of it was, but they found that nearly 60% of the citations Perplexity used came from domains that do not even rank in the top 100,000 most visited websites, and a huge chunk of those citations came from just three completely unknown sites, worldmetrics.org, wifitalents.com, and gitnux.org.
And here is the kicker. These sites appear to be run by the exact same entity. They share name servers, they use the exact same page templates, and between them, they have published over 215,000 buying guides.
But they are not writing these guides for you and me. If you look at the HTML title of these pages, they literally say Facts and Grounding Page. Grounding is the technical term for when an AI retrieves documents to base its answers on. These sites are explicitly telling the AI web crawlers, hey, look at me. I am formatted perfectly for your retrieval augmented generation pipeline.
It is AI SEO, or I guess LLM optimization. The Hacker News comments were all over this. A user named XPCPT pointed out that there is research showing large language models actually prefer to read and cite text generated by other large language models. The models find human writing messy and unpredictable, but they love the clean, structured, highly probable text that another AI writes.
That is so dystopian. It's a closed loop. The AI search engine asks a question, and it prefers the answer written by a spam bot because it speaks the same statistical language. A commenter named Supriyo Biswas explained how SEO companies are doing this now. They ask an LLM a question, see what embedding space the answer lives in, and then mathematically rewrite their own articles to match that exact mathematical space.
It is not about providing good information anymore. It is about minimizing KL divergence between your website and the AI's preferred vector space. And as some commenters pointed out, this is not just about selling software. There was a link shared to a Guardian article about foreign governments setting up fake think tanks with perfectly formatted websites just to feed alternative facts into AI agents.
That is the terrifying part. If we all start using AI to search the web, and the AI is easily manipulated by whoever can spin up 200,000 machine-readable grounding pages the fastest, truth just becomes a volume game. It makes the old Google PageRank SEO spam look like child's play.
It really does. All right, after all this talk about AI eating the internet and privacy dark patterns, we need something pure, something from the old web. And our final story today delivers exactly that. It is a post from LWN.net, simply titled, A Note on Subscription Prices from LWN.
For those who might not know, LWN, which originally stood for Linux Weekly News, is an absolute institution. They have been around since 1998, providing some of the highest quality, most deeply technical journalism about the Linux kernel and the open source ecosystem.
And they do it entirely through a subscriber model. No ads, no tracking, no AI-generated listicles. Just incredibly smart people writing for other incredibly smart people.
The post was an announcement from their editor, John Corbett, saying that for only the third time in 24 years, they are raising their subscription prices. They are bumping it up by about 20% to match U.S. inflation since their last increase in 2022. The new prices range from $6 a month for a starving hacker tier up to $55 for a maniacal supporter tier.
What I loved about this on Hacker News was the collective sigh of relief in the comments. When people saw the vague title, a note on subscription prices, they panicked. Commenters were saying they thought the site was shutting down or that John Corbett's health issues had returned.
Yes, a user named RGH said they were so relieved it was just a price hike that they immediately went and renewed their lab subscription just to celebrate.
The sentiment in that thread is just beautiful. It is basically hundreds of engineers saying, please take my money. A commenter named AlexB138 called it the single highest signal tech publication around. Another person said it was a cornerstone of their successful career because reading it every week exposed them to top-tier technical writing.
It is such a stark contrast to the rest of the news today. We spent this whole episode talking about companies trying to trick us, or trick the AI, or scrape our data. And then you have LWN, who just says, hey, things cost a bit more. We need to raise prices a few bucks so we can keep paying our writers to do good work. And the community responds with absolute support.
I think that is the perfect note to end on today. I agree. That is all we have for episode 507. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
If you want to dive into any of these threads, you know where to find them on Hacker News. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories. Until then, keep building, and maybe go subscribe to LWN. See you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.